2,192.15.
Well, I gotta get a tattoo at 12:30.
My wife, you see a woman up there, honey? Are you all right up there? I'm safe.
Abbott, what time is it? It's time for the Abbott and Costello Show.
All right, let him have it.
Greetings. Today is Wednesday, April 6th. It is 11:45 p.m. I'm Aaron.
I'm Adam.
And you're listening to show number 3 of the Sitter Downers.
So of course I can't do the thing.
So, thanks for, you know, joining us again. Our loyal listeners.
You non-existent listeners.
Mm-hmm. The comments.
You phantom listeners.
The feedback has been almost, I almost can't keep up with it. I mean, I've got all this other stuff to do, and I'm like, you know, I sit there all day and click send, receive. Nothing ever comes in. So, but, you know, that's going to change because we know we're on the edge here.
Cutting edge. We're
that's right.
Positive thinkers.
That's right. So, if you're new to the show, you're the first listener. Okay. A few things we're going to talk about. Well, the Cardinals, you said.
They opened their season yesterday.
Okay.
Looked pretty good. Beat the Astros. And I'm still looking for compensation for the humiliation from last year.
I don't really.
I'm not getting my hopes up.
You know, I'm a Cubs fan now. So.
You are?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, my wife has a grandma that's like 400 years old, and she was a Cub fan all her life. So we're kind of picking up and taking over from her. So.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, by the time I'm 85.
Yeah, the Cubs have taken over the official spot of suck since the Red Sox have finally won the series last year
at the expense
of the hapless Cardinals.
So
pathetic. You know, it's a really bad year and a half to be a Laker, Cardinal, Illini fan, which I am.
Oh, yeah, that really.
Yeah, I've really had a rough stretch.
Well, I'm pretty much the same on all sports with you except for the Cardinals. Well, I don't know. I'm a Packers fan. What, Raiders or something?
I like the Raiders. I like Steelers. I don't watch a lot of football, to be honest with you. But
and then
I'm gonna have to find something to watch. The Lakers are not gonna make the playoffs, and the trade of Shaquille O'Neal is gonna go down as one of the worst trades of all time, I think, because the Miami is burning up the East Coast.
Well, my college team, just to show you how much I'm into sports, my college football team, I don't even know who they are, but they're the one with that G. It looks like the Green Bay Packers G, but it's not. So I don't even know who they are. But I see their sportswear, and I'm like,
Georgia, I think.
That's maybe. My team, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So, yeah, that's how much of a sports fanatic I am.
I don't know either.
My wife, you know, we do have one fan, because my wife is really digging the show.
She's good. Well, maybe she can write us an email.
I would have to tell her to do that.
I'm going
to
write one anonymously just to
pretend,
make
you
think you're getting something.
And she likes it. She always, like tonight, you know, she was running late for work and she was waiting for me to get it ready so she could take it with her on her iPod. And she loves it. So we have one fan.
Good.
I mean, it's kind of sucks that she's related to us, but it's better than nothing.
It's too bad we live, you know, 30 minutes apart, too.
That, too.
Yeah, see, I'm going to have to start calling into the show. I guess.
Well, my oldest son likes this show too, and he wants to get in on it.
He's 5.
Yeah, he's 6 now.
Oh, 6. Sorry.
So he's
forgot
a little,
about the Incredible Party.
That's right. So he's a little bit too young, but he wants to be on the show. I've got another podcast. I might let him help with that one, but he's saving up for an iPod. He wants his very own iPod too. He wants to get an iPod Mini, the blue one. So he's got like I don't know like. $37 saved up, so.
They're very slick.
They are. And I, you know, when Jody and I talked about it, I didn't know if it was a good idea, but he's got that Game Boy, and he takes real good care of it. You know, I mean, all the other toys he has get torn up. And I told him this is electronics, you got to take care of it. He does a real good job with it and takes care of it, so I think he'll be all right with it. If, I mean, you know, by the time he gets that kind of money, he'll probably forget about it, but.
Probably.
We'll see. When we first started, we had a few false starts when we started, and we tried to get in, talk about a VAST, and we never did, which is what, like, virus?
A VAST is antivirus software. It's ABS, avast.com. We'll link it on the site when we get this episode up. And the company allows you to have one copy of their home edition for free as long as you use it for personal, non-commercial use. And you sign up, you get a password or a key. It's, you know, cryptic, several characters long. It's good for 12 or 14 months, I think. Then you have to register. It's still free, but they just, I guess they just want to keep tabs on you.
And see, I thought that that was just their way of getting you hooked, and then after that they were going to charge. But
right.
You said you've actually been through that cycle.
I have. So unless it's the second time, it's still free. And it's got a lot of features and worked well for me so far. Doesn't give me near the problems that Norton used to give me.
It yeah.
Updates itself very frequently. Seems to be pretty competent. Keeping me virus-free for over a year or so.
Well, I put it on my server, so it...
And you got nothing to lose because it's free.
No. So, yeah, I mean, actually, you're saving because it's like, you know, $30-$40 to get your new virus definitions.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, that's how I feel after I get done paying for those virus definitions. So you were looking at my medicine up there. I got my medicine here in the studio. And it's, what's it called?
OxyContin.
You said it's pretty powerful stuff. It's the strongest I've ever had. I've got chronic back pain and ankle pain and stuff. A lot of it due to weight. So you said I got to watch that and make sure that I don't get addicted to it.
Several famous people have been addicted to it, I think.
Oh, that's great. That's encouraging.
I think Brett Favre. I think maybe it was Vicodin with Brett Favre. I can't remember.
See, I've had that and that didn't do anything for me. I've had a lot of different pain medicines that didn't really control the pain. This is the first one I've ever had that actually controls it. So, my plan, though, is to just... She said she'd prescribe it a month at a time, so I'm just going to use it, and then when it's gone, I'm going to wait like a week, you know, for like, you know, self-imposed detox, and then call and get a new prescription. So
that stuff that you liquefied and burned in a spoon, I don't think that counts.
No, that's... Yeah, that's... Yeah, I'm going to have to edit that out. We don't want to talk about that. Yeah, I mean, when the Oxy, whatever it's called, when that doesn't work, you know, I just go to the big city and smoke a little herb.
Herb gets in the big city. Like we're anywhere near the big city.
Yeah. Today, for the serious part of our show, we want to talk, kind of preface what we're going to do in the future. We've got a book that we're going to recommend. Not only that you read.
I'm having a good time with
it. I got to take the controls away from him. But
the meaningless sound effects.
Yeah.
Rejected at any time I please. It's kind of a little power trip. Anytime I feel like it, you know, I just literally. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, we're going to introduce a book that we both. Like, I read it originally, and it's a fabulous book.
It's in its fourth edition.
It's a classic, actually. It's called The Universe Next Door by James Sire. And what he does is he gives a definition of a worldview, and then he gives some stipulations of how you judge a worldview. And then it goes through several different worldviews, like deism and Christian theism, and pantheism, and so forth and so on. And he explains how well each of those worldviews answers the questions about life. And it's just a phenomenal book. So today we'll just kind of give some introductory material and then intersperse through the upcoming shows whenever, you know, we don't have something else that we want to talk about. We'll go through each of the chapters in this book and discuss what he says about each of those worldviews. Now, the fourth edition has a new definition for worldview. It's a little bit long and gangly, but it's really good. So,
we'll be using this book for fallback plan in case we don't have anything to talk about.
And
so
we
may go through it a couple shows in a row and may skip it. If we ever get anybody to listen, which we won't, they write us email, which they won't. Give us a different topic to take up. And if we don't have a topic,
But this actually is a great topic.
Yeah, our Sunday school class is going to take up studying this, I think, next week.
Yeah, so.
We'll be preparing ourselves. And we've both read the book. I read the third edition, and we're just brushing up a little bit.
Yeah. Go ahead and read the new definition. It's a little longer than the third edition.
Okay, this is James Sire's definition of a worldview. First, he makes the point that everyone has a worldview, and that you and I operate in a framework of how we view the world around us and how things work every time we interact with anyone or answer any kind of question. And here, I don't remember the difference between this and the old definition, but I'm going to read you the new definition. A worldview is a commitment, a fundamental orientation of the heart that can be expressed as a story or in a set of presuppositions, assumptions which may be true, partially true, or entirely false, which we hold consciously or subconsciously, consistently or inconsistently, about the basic constitution of reality, and that provides the foundation on which we live and move and have our being.
The newer stuff is at the beginning where he talks about a story that wasn't originally in there, and he kind of wraps it up again at the end about how we live by it. And that comes from this whole concept, which is becoming more popular in philosophical circles, of the meta-narrative, of this overarching story that explains everything about your life. So, for instance, the meta-narrative of Christianity is creation, fall, redemption, consummation. That's the meta-narrative of Christianity. So what he's talking about there when he says story is meta-narrative, which is basically just a wider look at worldview. So he got a lot of comments on that, and that's why he decided to include that in there.
Basically, much more simply for you people that are stupid like me, it's what you think about reality and how it works. And that will affect, obviously, how you deal with any given situation. If you're a Christian or theist versus atheist, and in a very broad sense, you believe it's immoral to steal candy from babies because God said it's immoral to steal. And if you're an atheist, I hope you don't steal candy from babies, but you can't really make the argument that you're committing an immorality by taking their candy.
So he has seven questions then that he puts each worldview too, and examines them by, and that's how he decides, well, how he helps the reader decide which worldview actually answers these questions and is the best worldview then.
I think he says that how you answer these seven questions, or seven questions.
Seven questions.
This is what forms your worldview, the way mm-hmm. you answer these
Absolutely.
Questions.
And then when you have that answer, then you can compare them with the answers to the other worldviews and then decide, you know, is this the best? Are these the best answers to these questions? The first question is what is prime reality, the really real? In other words, is there God? Is God all the beginning, or was just the cosmos, was the universe here always? What is prime reality?
What does that mean if I reject the idea that there's a God, that prime reality is my house and my
material
stuff,
mostly,
that's the end all?
Well, I mean, for some worldviews, for other worldviews.
Well, I'm saying, for instance, that could be the answer to some
right.
people's answer to that question.
Right. So it doesn't.
The studio here.
Right. So some people's prime reality is not God, it would be material, matter.
Okay.
Number two, what is the nature of external reality, that is, the world around us? And this would be like, some people believe that it's real. We would believe that, you know, we're speaking into real microphones.
In the real studio.
Right.
But we're getting phantom emails and have imaginary listeners, but
exactly.
the studio is real.
Exactly. And if, like, you know, if someone hit me in the face, it would really hurt because it's real. It's reality. But some people don't believe that is the nature of external reality. They believe it's just something that we imagine, or it's something that we think exists, but it doesn't. Number three, what is a human being? In other words, Christians, we, the sitter-downers, believe a human being is a created being that's created in the image of God, whereas someone else thinks the human being is nothing more than chemicals and water mixed together by chance.
Product of evolution.
Right. So, or some people don't believe either of those. Going back on what is the nature of external reality, they might think that the human being is just thought, you know. Number four, what happens to a person at death? Do you just go into nothingness? Do you go into the presence of God? Do you become one with the eternal, you know?
You come back for another round.
Right, reincarnation. That, and to me, that would just be like hell. I mean, you know,
what?
Reincarnation.
Yeah, like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, there might as well be hell. That would just
yeah.
be horrible.
If it's true, I'm getting punished right now.
Oh, absolutely. Number five.
I'll probably come back as a turd.
Number five, why is it possible to know anything at all? In other words, what is the nature of knowledge, of knowing? Why can we know, and if we can, how? All the questions about knowledge, about knowing. Some people believe that we can't know anything. So when you say, you know, the pen is blue, they say, well,
it's illusionary.
Right. We think it's blue, but you can't really know that it's blue.
Yeah. That's one of those things that I've kind of reserved. It might be one of those issues where I'm not smart enough to get it, but that stuff is just seems like bunk to me. I'm not able to grasp how you deny the reality that you're in.
Well, it has to do with proof, absolute proof. And since, even from a Christian point of view, since we're not God, we can't prove anything.
Right.
We
right.
operate, but the bottom line is we operate as if it were reality. So somebody who says, well, we can't know anything, well, if somebody tells them they got cancer, they're sure going to act like they know something.
Right. Well, how do I know that I exist?
Exactly.
And who is asking the question?
Number six, how do we know what is right and wrong? Is it because we're made in the image of God, and then because of that, therefore, there is something inborn in us that tells us, hey, some things are right, some things are wrong. Because God exists, there is right and wrong. Or do we just socially develop into creatures that decide that, well, this is what's best for society, or this is what's best for the individual?
Conventionalism.
Right. Number seven.
Also, another view is that it's another product of evolution. We do what is the most beneficiary.
Right.
Most beneficial for us and propels us forward as a species. Whatever mm-hmm. successful is what we continue to do. Like, we don't randomly kill each other.
Right.
Well, we do at times, but not as a rule. The sitter-downers don't kill people.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Yeah, we don't. There's no killing. Number seven, what is the meaning of human history?
Excuse me.
That is to say, does it show us something from God? Does it show the purposes of God? Is it cyclical, like when you talk about reincarnation, or does it have an end? Like someday, will history come to an end when we find out that everyone is, that there's overpopulation and we're eating one another?
Soylent Green, baby. People.
I need to dig that movie out and watch it.
That's a great movie. Anyway. So those are the seven questions that we'll use when we go through this book to dig through each of these worldviews and see what kind of answers they provide to those questions.
We may use that as a springboard to go other places. And we've been talking about doing atheism versus theism viewpoints, age of the universe stuff. You know, so we may, if we find something we like in there, we may go off on a tangent and get back to it later.
After you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel blue, you'll feel sad, you'll miss the best battle you've ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it, there'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, When you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you wander lonely. After you've gone, after you've gone.